It's the award-winning Days In Midwest Race Report on Cool Gold 1460 with Dan the Voice Diker, Billy Doc Niles, and Paul the Statman Reichert, brought to you by the Days In Hotel and Conference Center, just off the interstate at Exit 2. Big Boar Barbecue on Highway 16 West Salem, home of the Ultimate Platter Challenge. By the Toma Sparta Speedway, racing Friday nights. By FansArena.com, the official clothing supplier for Dan, Doc, and Paul. And by Dells Raceway Park in Wisconsin Dells. Now here's Dan, Doc, and Paul with today's report.
Hi, race fans. It's Saturday. It's a gorgeous day to be at your local short track. And a good time to be tuning into one of the Midwest's biggest growing racing programs, the Days In Midwest Race Report on 1460 WBOG and 101.3. I'm radio man Dan Diker. That is Paul Penguin Reichert and Billy Doc Niles. And Billy, we've got a loaded show coming up today.
Yeah, we're going to start out in the next segment. We got Toma Modified driver Paul Brown. He's going to tell us about his career and some of the great things going on at the Toma Sparta Speedway.
And we're
going
to talk a little history of Toma the past 4 or 5 years there.
Yes, Chuck Hausman, a former promoter of Toma. He's going to be talking about those days and what's been going on with him.
And, of course, we've had in the past Chris Weinkauf, Super Late Model driver, Jason Weinkauf, Super Late Model driver, Levon Vandergeest, where we're going to tell you a bit of history that I didn't even realize when I was announcing at the Mile. Midwest Truck Series drivers are going to join us. But the head of Vandergeest Racing, Jay Vandergeest, is going to be joining us in the program. And we're going to find out. He's got to have a nickname. We don't know what it is because I'm Radio Man Dan. You're the Penguin. You're Doc. Jay's got to have a nickname.
I'm sure he's got one. We'll find out here when we get him on later in the program.
Or we make one up.
Right now I have late model owner and driver. I mean, we got to have something a little more colorful than that.
I mean, we've got Chuck Housy Hausman. I've got Paul Knees Brown. And we've just got Jesse. Hey, did you like my response to what you add to ice cream this week?
Yeah, peaches.
I said peaches.
Peaches and cream.
Yeah. But then the response I got back was, okay, is that the hip-hop artist from La Crosse, the original Fruit, and what was the other one?
The Jam.
Yeah, The Jam. Peach jam and ice can be pretty good.
Wow.
That better be on our menu because, you know, Bill and I are going to be working awfully hard on Saturday. Talking about Saturday, tonight, the rescheduled night for Fan Photo Night is at the La Crosse Fairgrounds Speedway, and I've already seen some drivers. They are going to be giving away so much stuff at the Speedway tonight. Single-handedly to the race fans, it's nuts.
This is one of the best nights. If you ever wanted stuff from drivers, get out there early because they'll line all the divisions up on the front stretch, and even the visiting vintage drivers are going to be lined up tonight too. So that's going to be really cool to see some of them old cars and the stuff they give away. You know, from bikes to cash,
food. I mean,
it's incredible. So get there early, get registered. Diker usually spends
food
about 10 or 15 minutes just giving stuff away at the end of this. So yeah. Get there early and get registered for all the cool stuff that these guys are going to be giving away tonight.
And that does add flavor tonight. The Upper Midwest Vintage Racing Series was at Toma Sparta Speedway last week. Best crowd we've had at Toma the entire season. The racing was simply outstanding. And I'm expecting probably 5 or 6 more that were in repairs between Milwaukee and tonight to be a part of the Upper Midwest Vintage Racing Series. Tuesday night, what did Matt Kenseth, the bump and run that Matt Kenseth did on Ty Majeski, what was wrong with that? Billy, you're first.
Well,
be honest here.
I'm going to be honest. It's not my favorite move in the world, but if you talk to Ty Majeski, he says I'd have done the same thing.
Paul?
Well, I saw Matt do the same to Eric Jones in that green-white checkered finish back in 2016. I'm not a fan of it, but if it works, if it doesn't cause a big accident, I'm fine with it.
Ty even admitted in the post-race he thought it was going to happen about 6 laps earlier when I thought it was going to happen. Because he knew, he said, if as long as he kept riding my bumper like that, I knew it was coming sooner or later.
And Matt's been around long enough to know that if he does it with 6 laps to go, there's a good chance he's going to get it back. He pulled it at the right spot at the right moment on the last corner of the last lap. Slingshot, goodbye, nice to know you, I'm the winner.
And I tell you what, that had to have been one of the best crowds I think Slingers ever had for the Nationals.
Oh, Slingers, it's a great place to go watch a race. honest God, people listening around the country, this is a bucket list track to go check out. I love going.
I was all set to go. Yep. I was all set to go, but the owner of the hotel came down, and of course, then I had to go to a health department meeting, and I was stunned. I couldn't go this year.
Yeah, it's a high bank quarter mile. For those of you listening around the country, if you've never seen it before, one of the I believe they tag it the fastest quarter mile in the world. And 11-second laps these guys click off. So races go just like that. It's so fun to watch a race there.
Look at the names that didn't even make the top 17. We're going to go from the bottom. Casey Johnson couldn't even race his way in. Oh, no, I'm not going to give him the nickname for this one here. He couldn't even race his way in. This was so tough.
Oh, ultra slow on Tuesday night.
Chandler Smith. With KBR, we had him on Kyle Busch Motorsports. We had him on last week.
Lasted four laps.
Four laps after a crash. Steven Nassi, 41 laps. Johnny Sauter, 47 laps. Dennis Prunty, the best pure maple syrup ever made, by the way, that sponsors him, 48 laps.
48 laps for Bubba.
Bubba Pollard, 48 laps after a crash. Austin Nason finishes 17th. Mechanical failure, 137 laps. Any one of those drivers we talked about last week we thought could have won this thing.
Well, look at Michael Bilderback. He was having problems too. I mean, he's 16 laps off the pace. Another one, and I mean, he's having such a great season on these short tracks right now. And then you look at the top there, you know, Kenseth, Majeski, John DeAngelis, Steve April, who was the fast qualifier.
Alex Prunty led this
Prunty
for a while.
Had a great run, yeah. So, and, you know, there's Rich Bickle Jr. right there in sixth. Still got some great names on top. I mean, this is like an all-star race right here.
Here's some of the interesting stats I've pulled out of this. They had 26 Chevys, 5 Fords, and 3 Toyotas. Where's the balance in that?
I didn't even know that.
34 cars total. Steve April led this race for 74 laps. Ty Majeski led it for 74 laps. Matt Kenseth led it for not even a full lap.
100 yards is what I heard.
Some of the other things that
is crazy.
Out of this race, Matt Kenseth, it was his 8th win. The semi-feature was won by R.J. Brown, and the qualifying race was run by Chris Weinkauf. 30 lapper he got right there to get in.
Yeah, there's a name you don't normally see running a qualifier to get in, so that tells you just how tough that field was.
The other question, Rich Bickle Jr. DQ'd after qualifying.
Mm-hmm. Daniel Hemric also.
Daniel Hemric, yep. DQ'd after qualifying. Ty Majeski gets a provisional as well. Should drivers get a provisional after they've been DQ'd? Biggest question I saw on Facebook last night, and I don't know how to answer that.
It used to be you had to make your car legal and race your way in, so I don't know where the loophole came there.
Some tracks, you get DQ'd, you're done. You're done for the night.
Yep.
Yeah, I think you would have to go through the qualifier or whatever, the last chance race to
make it legal before you can get back on the track. So I don't understand that one bit.
So had that happened at any weekly Saturday night track, are the provisionals given, or was it because it was the 40th annual Nationals at Slinger that the provisionals were given because the fans came to see those drivers race?
That may be the except in rare circumstances rule, the promoter's choice type, whatever you want to call it.
But I think there was 2 promoter's provisionals and 1 sponsor provisional.
Yeah, because they used to do that back in the day, the promoter's choice, you know, somebody who didn't make it into the main event. And I
didn't bring it up complaining. Yeah. I just thought it was a very contentious issue that hit social media last night as the qualifying races had begun and people started finding out what they were DQ'd for.
Yeah, as long as I've been racing, I'd never seen anything like that. So it's not my position to state, you know, what Slinger should or shouldn't do, but it's just an extraordinary circumstance.
Well, it was an extraordinary crowd on Tuesday night, and 34 late models got in, and not everybody got a chance to race. The drivers that didn't compete, Casey Johnson, Jeff Nolan, Tim Lampin, Steve Doerr, Andy Brocker, Jim Olsen, Jim Locke, and Josh Nelms. When we come back, we're going to talk with a modified driver, a former promoter that is still involved in a fast-growing old racetrack, and we're going to talk to Jay Vandergeest, a super late model driver. That's going to be today's show. Paul Reichert's got a racing rewind. All coming up next.
Well, you didn't do that very good. Good to see you.
Are you looking for comfort under the sun? You can find that and a whole lot more with your stay at the Days Inn Hotel and Conference Center on French Island, La Crosse. The Days Inn has 148 spacious rooms, an indoor pool, hot tub, fitness room, and plenty of banquet space to host that big meeting or wedding reception. If you're hungry, food and drink are just steps away at Heroes Bar and Grill inside the hotel. So if you're planning a pool party, wedding reception, or just want a night away in a jacuzzi suite, Days Inn Hotel and Conference Center on French Island is your stop under the sun.
Every Friday night, Western Wisconsin will once again come alive with the sights and sounds of stock car racing. That's right, the Thomas Sparta Speedway is rocking once again. And this Friday, it's the Tim Myers Shootout with Mod, Sportsman, the Midwest Dash Series, Hobby Stocks, Hornets, and more. For schedules and more information, go to ThomasSpartaSpeedway.com. And also check out their Facebook for events, giveaways, and a whole lot more. Friday Night Racing is back at the Thomas Sparta Speedway.
You want barbecue, but she doesn't? What do you do? Hi, Jerry here at Big Boar Barbecue. We know not everyone wants barbecue. That's why we feature so much more, like our fried chicken, Philly steak sandwich, meatloaf, great burgers, salads, wraps, and more. So keep feasting the family, stop in and try something from our extensive menu. It's so much cheaper than a divorce. Big Boar and more, Highway 16 West Salem.
Yes, come on down for the best food in town at Big Boar Barbecue.
Yeah, it's a mouthful.
We made it through the first turn. Now back to Dan, Doc, and Paul on the Days Inn Midwest Race Report.
Welcome back once again, race fans. It's Saturday. That means it's the one of the biggest radio shows in the Midwest, the Days Inn Midwest Race Report here on WBOG. That's 1460 101.3. Kugold1460.com and on the TuneIn app.
Love that TuneIn app.
WBOG or just ask Alexa. Hey, Alexa, play WBOG in that faintly dim female voice that's of a mechanical nature. She'll respond, playing WBOG. That was pretty bad.
That was sad. That was sad. Both of our parts.
What's not sad is my next guest. He has made an appearance now.
I can't believe he didn't walk out after that Alexa
imitation. 2 years
in a
row, maybe even 3 years in a row. A guy that I could have on almost every week because he's just so full of knowledge. He's very personable, and he's one of the modified drivers at the Thomas Sparta Speedway. That would be our good friend, Paul Brown. How are you, friend?
I'm getting by. I'm getting by, Dan. Thanks for having me.
Good to have you back on the program again. You're, of course, one of the I think that there's two people that get the most loudest of applause at the Thomas Sparta Speedway just because I think the longevity of how long you and Matt Moore have been associated with that racetrack. I think you're one of those two. And it never gets old when you hop on Winner's Circle, does it?
No, it's always great. And it's getting better and better. The competition is getting so tough to win one now. It's really, really, really a good – it's an accomplishment.
You know, talk about the modified competition at Toma, because compared to a couple of years ago when there was just a few of them, now it's anybody's ball game any given night.
Yep, 7 or 8 cars generally, and fast. There used to be 1 or 2 fast cars. Now there's – if there's 9 cars, there's 7 very fast cars and 2 pretty fast cars. So it's – It's a challenge. And Toma being a driver's track, it's a lot of fun. It's a lot of fun to be there.
You know, top 5 on points right now, you can't complain about that, but there's always room for improvement.
Right. Well, we missed the first 2 weeks.
Yeah, I was going to say, you guys missed the first couple weeks.
Yep. I had a home obligation. Mama had foot surgery, so I had to take care of her. Then when they turned me loose, they had 2 weeks off. So we'll take a top 5 for missing 2.
And it was weird seeing you come back because – he didn't just come back with a full car that everybody recognized. You came back, decal here, little vinyl here, then you teased it on Facebook, and then you finally came back with a whole car wrapped.
Finally got it all done, right.
That was even Paul and I, the Penguin. We were talking up the tower, okay, now that's Paul Brown, right? Because I can't see the number except what's on top of the car.
Right, right. Hey. So it was, and that's what I decided. Everybody knows that old blue and silver car, and it's the same color, so.
And you've had the same number for how long?
Wow. Since 1973.
I was gonna say I heard it was like the mid 70s.
Yep.
Talk. Why the 48? What's the significance behind the number?
It's for me. It was when we started racing. We started running Lake Geneva, and Lake Geneva and Wilmot were associated through the IRA, the Interstate Racing Association. Yep. And when you go in there, they assign you a number. And my brother and I and a friend all went in, and Bob got the 47, I got the 48, and my brother got the 49, and I just have stuck with it ever since.
Oh, you're talking old school right
oh,
there
yeah,
now.
Big time. Yeah.
I just saw
school.
Some grays pop on Doc's head. Paul's hair is too nicely combed.
That's the lighting.
You know, I've been announcing at Toma, Chuck Hausman helping here on and off since 07. That sounds about right. Yeah, because there was such uncertainty of it was a little boy. I used to call it the little boy that cried wolf track because one year they're open, then they're not, then they are. 2012, I think, is when the anchors started getting solidly put down with Thompson and then Inglet, and then you guys came on board, and then the past 2 years with Greg Oliver. The ebb and tide of modified racing to me is shocking. My first year announcing the lacrosse speedway was 2007. And that was the last year that they ran A's and B's mods at Oktoberfest. What happened to them?
Well, I think they used to be a popular class, Midwest. The asphalt guys kind of took off from the dirt guys because the car itself is an adjustable car that was supposed to be an inexpensive car. And a lot of the big dollar guys took that and they kept adding to the motors and adding to the chassis and adding to the motors until they finally priced it out of hand. And with four or five cars, no matter where you go, they used to be a traveling series. They lost their cars. Unfortunately, I think that's kind of the way the Dells is headed now, unless they rein in the outlaws that they let run down there.
You know, Billy and I had this conversation probably 12, 15 years ago at the lacrosse speedway is, man, I miss modifieds at Fest, and they really don't run around here. And I had asked Billy before a race one time, It's three quarters a late model with bigger headers. And I asked Bill, I said, why doesn't lacrosse have anything to support this? And he was even baffled.
Right. No, I'm not sure why. We worked to get them started. And now the unfortunate thing is they've grown so much in popularity that every other track around now has a modified class.
The resurgence the past 2 years has been, even listening to Paul's recaps, almost every track has modifieds now.
Right. And it's kind of cut into it. We tried to build our car numbers, and now we're sharing cars with all the tracks because the guys live all around.
And, you know, last year they came back to Oktoberfest, and there was only, what, about 8 or 10 cars?
Yeah.
Right. I kind of see that, you know, with the popularity growing at the short tracks again, the popularity should be coming back to Oktoberfest. That's the way I see it.
Should make it a good show.
You guys were talking about the ebb and flow at Toma. One thing that's, and we see the way things have been going the last couple of years, how do you see it from your perspective, from the driver's perspective? Because it looks like Greg Oliver is doing such a phenomenal job there, and it appears that the crowds are starting to come back, the car counts are starting to come back. What's it look like from your side of the fence?
And the sponsors are coming back.
Well, that's the part that I like. I think we've established the fact that Toma is a track to stay. We fought hard to be a responsible bunch of racers. And I think we're putting on good shows, and I think Greg's leadership has kind of solidified everything. The two previous guys busted their butt.
Yeah.
And kind of set the groundwork for the honesty that Greg was able to bring. And then his name as a promoter carries a lot of weight. So for all of the rest of us, it's meant solidarity. We know that we're going to race next week. We know we're going to have sponsors for the races.
Right.
And as we put on better shows and our car counts get a little better, the fans are coming back. They're remembering the old racing. And I hope that that's the kind of racing we're giving them, the quality racing rather than the wrecking racing.
And Oliver comes in with Greg McCarns looking over one shoulder and Chuck Deary over the other. I mean, I can't think of another promoter ever that has those two brain trusts working with him.
And Greg Oliver is probably one of the easiest guys to work with, too.
I mean,
you're not going to find a nicer guy in the racing business.
Nope, he's an honest, easygoing guy. And we've been able to get our part of the improvements at the track were due to the other guys making upgrades. And because he's associated with them so well,
right,
we've gotten some stuff that we've been able to improve our track with their cast off, so to speak, but it's made ours a better place to race.
And you got a guy like Doug Oliver, Greg's dad. I've never seen that facility painted and mowed, and the care he does without getting paid is phenomenal. He's a true race fan. He watched his son race. Greg raced at Toma back in the
Doug,
80s.
Doug even raced back in the 70s.
I mean, the whole formation of Go Racing Promotions out there, I can't see a niche in the hardware anywhere. Can you?
It's working.
Chuck?
It's working well. It's working really, really good.
Of course, Chuck Hausman, Used to be the GM out there as well. He's standing by here in the studio with us as well.
He's making sure Finch doesn't screw up here.
Well, I think we're going to put Chuck on our next segment, too, because Chuck offers a lot of insight as to what's going on out there. Chuck lives on that property, and he has seen that place go from little boy that cried wolf to a promoter that came in and ripped off the city of Tomo for $46,000. And that is one of the biggest scars that's still out there. But I think the brain trusts that are out there, Paul and Chuck is out there, Stevie Jorgensen still comes out, you guys come out and race, Doc and I promote the hell out of it, I announce out there. All I see is prosperity over the next two or three years.
We're hoping so. We're hoping we can keep racing out there. I like having a racing home that's easy. When I was a little younger, as you pointed out, I raced all over the place. Now I just want a nice, easy place to race that's close to home, and Toma's that for me. So
we only got just about 30 seconds left here. Why don't you tell us what sponsors will help me out in 2019?
2019, I got Tim Parker, my Cornwall Tua guy, Charlie Holmes with his resale shop in the city, his new place, Tough Enough Auto Body, and Friendship Home Center are my big ones. And then, of course, and I can't get it, NJP Productions.
There we go.
Rick Porter has Rick to Porter. Let me know that every weekend.
And he is also an associate sponsor that's been on my car now for 2 years. And it's nice to be able to go and race and then the next week come back and pick up the CD for the race so you can see how bad you did or what you did wrong.
Andy Moore does it every single weekend. Paul Brons, one of the true legends of the Tomo Sporta Raceway, modifieds. If you ever need a question, you want a question on how to set it up, even you have an old leaf spring sitting around in the dirt someplace, I'm sure Paul and the gang would really help you get that thing going to maybe not where he is or the DeVitos are or the Nick Quinnells, but we'd love to bend your ear and get you guys started. When we come back, we're going to talk a little bit more Tomo Sporta Speedway. That's coming up next on WBOG.
Tonight at Dell's Raceway Park, Back 40 Ranch presents Kids Bike Night and Fan Appreciation Night. Race fans will enjoy the Noah's Ark late models, Modifies, Bandits, Legends, Sportsman, and Bandos. Gates open at 3, qualifying at 4:30, green flag racing at 6. Go online for more info at dellsracewaypark.com. Special pricing with adults $10, students, seniors, and military $5, kids 9 to 12 $2.50, and little race fans 8 and under free. Kids Bike Night and Fan Appreciation Night tonight at Dell's Raceway Park.
Are you looking for comfort under the sun? You can find that and a whole lot more with your stay at the Days Inn Hotel and Conference Center on French Island, La Crosse. The Days Inn has 148 spacious rooms, an indoor pool, hot tub, fitness room, and plenty of banquet space to host that big meeting or wedding reception. If you're hungry, food and drink are just steps away at Heroes Bar and Grill inside the hotel. So if you're planning a pool party, wedding reception, or just want a night away in a jacuzzi suite, Days Inn Hotel and Conference Center on French Island is your stop under the sun.
Hi, race fans. This is Theron Race.
This is Ron Vandermeer Jr.
This is Levon Vandergeest.
This is Bill Breitfeld.
This is Steve Bachman.
This is Steve Carlson.
This is Mandy Eckelberg.
This is Mike Carlson.
This is Justin Malkin.
This is Jonathan Eckelberg. You are listening to the Days Inn Midwest Race Report with Dan, Doc, and Paul
on Cool Gold 1460.
WBOG.
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 Once again, welcome back, race fans. It's the Days Inn Midwest Race Report on this beautiful Saturday. Going to be a little bit steamy at the La Crosse Speedway tonight. It was a very nice night at the Tomo Sporta Speedway last night. And for this, I think, Billy Doc, now is the first time in this year we haven't had rain every other day.
Yeah, it's about time.
I
think it has. It rained a little bit on Wednesday. You know, we had that hard rain on Tuesday, but everything dried out nicely. I got the tank top tan going on here. I filled it in last week, by the way, too. Hey, we got to thank all our sponsors.
Yeah, Kevin Ramsel said you showed too much skin on Facebook.
Yeah,
I remember that.
He shouldn't be looking. We got to thank all of our sponsors in 2019 for helping put this radio show on the air. Of course, Days Inn on French Island in La Crosse. Thank you, Dan Diker, for everything you do for the race community. Gives great rates for racers. Give him a call.
Wait till Oktoberfest.
Yes. Big Board Barbecue back once again. Voted best in the county, in La Crosse County. And you'll find out why. Best caterer, too. They got some great food. Stop in before you go to the races. Check them out. Of course, our friends at Dell's Raceway Park. Big race going on tonight. We'll tell you more about that in segment number 6. And Tomo Sparta Raceway, racing every Friday night. We'll give you the lowdown on them here in just a little bit with our guest, our next guest, plus we'll tell you what's going on next week. Fansarena.com, JNL Collectibles, theglasscarver.com. They make some great, cool stuff. I got some cool shot glasses from them. And the Midwest Racing Connection. And all these partners, we could not put this radio show on without them.
Find the Midwest Racing Connection online or at your favorite racetrack. We were talking just a segment ago with modified driver Paul Brown from the Tomos Sports Speedway, and we had name-dropped Chuck Hausman a couple of times. And Chuck was one of those 3 years ago, maybe even four, that finally put his foot down at the Tomos Sports Speedway and said, damn it, we need to open this track up. We need to bring the family atmosphere back. I don't know how many conversations, Chuck, you and I had on the sales marketing side of things. I got to say kudos for you and Stevie Jorgensen finally saying, hey, why are we letting this gorgeous racetrack turn into Black River Falls? Let's get this thing back open again.
Yeah, I actually started out there at the track back when Mike Englert first opened it back up. I think it was 2012. He had kind of a fall league that they ran, and I did some medical stuff back there. And every year, I like to say I got roped into getting a little bit further into it and never had the intention to be promoting the racetrack. But most people don't understand what it takes to run a racetrack or even run a race. And, boy, talk about an eye-opener. If you ever have a chance, if you ever have a chance to work,
you and I just talked about this last weekend. Yeah,
if you have a chance to get up in the tower and watch how things run, you'd be amazed at what it takes to make that event happen.
That's why every time I ask Chuck Deary, "Hey, how many races did you watch at Oktoberfest?" he says zero.
You know, I made this point a couple of times on this show where I was a smart ass race car driver on that side of the fence, and I've seen, you know, since I've come to this side and done some announcing and watching Chuck work. At La Crosse and watching Greg Oliver work at Toma, it's a whole different world, man. If you think you can do better, you're more than welcome to step up. But, man, this is not as easy as you think it is.
Yeah, we had Bill Schott back in, I think it was our first Tim Meyer Memorial. He had some car problems, couldn't race, and so we had him help Tom Farah up in the tower. And the next week, Steve thanked him down in the driver's meeting, and he said, you can keep it. I'll keep driving.
I that's why I watch the keyboard warriors. Every time a track motor makes any kind of a move that they think is stupid, because pretty much drivers think that all moves that promoters make are to fill their pockets or to give themselves a good name.
Yep. I'm going to put this question.
Hold on.
No, okay.
I look at rainouts, and I just sat in the tower again as Bill was on his way. That is the hardest call I would never want to wish upon my worst enemy, is to call a rainout.
There's so much that goes into calling a race. The cost to just open the gates for a race is astronomical. So to go ahead and call the race is a big deal. But there's so much more involved with just whether the track is able to be driven on. There's a lot of safety for the fans, safety for the drivers. Gray clouds will scare wayward fans away.
Right.
And you will lose a crowd based on gray clouds. So there's a lot that has to go into it to make sure that the race happens and make sure that it's safe for everybody.
I put this question to Paul in the last segment, and I'm going to put it to you. The evolution of how Toma has gone over the last few years, from promoter to promoter. Now it seems it's going to be pretty stable for quite a while with Greg Oliver. How have you seen the evolution go at Toma?
Well, now that I'm not promoting, I can talk about those ugly days when we had that promoter come in 2013 and just about destroyed the track. I mean,
the idiots from Indiana.
Yep, and it took a lot to get out of that. The first year, I think that Paul and I ran it, we couldn't get sponsors.
Right.
We could not get sponsors. We relied on the fans. We relied on the drivers. We couldn't even get sponsors. And for several years after that, even talking with people, that name would come up. And it's like, no, that's a done, gone deal.
Yeah.
And one of the things that we did, and, Dan and I talked about it, the importance of getting the race to start on time, getting them finished on time. We had one race one time where it went pretty late. It was like getting close to 11. We had some technical issues, I think, with lights, and it went to 11. And we actually talked about it. And we said, look, we have to be done at that 10 o'clock mark. We got kids out here.
Yeah.
We have to figure out how to make it so that we get that race, to 10. Then you got to be careful, because if you start running too fast, then all of a sudden you're finishing way ahead of time, and now it's like we just charge people to come here to watch the show.
We need to make
sure that we have at least a good show showing for them. And but yeah, everything in the background that goes on is just crazy. And I love telling the story. I'm not even really a big race fan.
Yeah, but we just talked about that.
But I see what these guys do to get to that track every week. The work they put into their cars, the money they're spending to get there to race. They deserve a place to race, and that was enough for me to get in there and do some of the promoting and try to build that track back up.
That was like last year, February. Greg Oliver called me up on a Saturday afternoon and said, "Hey, what are your plans on Friday nights this year?" Well, I was looking at going back to MTS. They were begging me to go back there. Chuck obviously wanted me to do street drags, and that's when he told me, "I'm going to lease the track this year. I need an announcer." And I said yes within – I think I cut him off during the conversations. Yes. Anybody else, I think I would have probably stepped away for good
If you'd let him finish, he was just going to pay you in food.
I even offered that for the first couple races, and he said, "No, what I'm paying you is going to be cheaper than what you would eat me out of this tower." Chuck's seeing that over the years. The classes and the car counts, I'm glad that they have pretty much stayed homebody bound. We've not to try to bring in this different car or this different car. I think with the base that Greg has ran off of, the Toma people know what those cars are. We don't have five Hornet divisions anymore. We're not trying to make modifieds, do things you can't do. I think he started with a good base.
Yeah, it took a lot of work. Steve and I, you know, definitely did not know how to run a track. We had to learn, but
Kudos to you guys for even trying.
We had a great team. You know, when I first started there, Paul Brown was actually the pit boss. He was the tech guy and stuff. And then as we move forward in time, and this is what, you know, kudos to Greg because he kept the team. You got the Woods family working that tower, and you want to watch some amazing tower work. There's no electronic timer system for those cars and counting those laps.
Right. No transponders.
That is that family working those cars and keeping track of them. Steve and I learned a lot from like the Steve Backuses, the Paul Browns, the Lee Wilds that are still there, still helping out. And that team that Greg inherited is just a strong team, and that was what was great about it. The last year that we actually ran it, we weren't supposed to run it. But there's some problems just before the season with the new promoter, and it was kind of like, "Hey, can you guys run it one more time?" And back in the day, Greg Oliver was at one of the races. I forgot what race it was. And he's like, "I've never flagged Toma." And we're like, "Go flag it." And he comes back up the tower all excited. And if you know Greg, you know what I'm talking about.
He's like,
"I only got one thing left on my bucket list of racing." And I was like, "What's that?" And he's like, "Run a racetrack." That little light's been flashing in my head ever since then. So when we had to run that last season, the first person I called was Greg. And I said, "Greg, I know you got this on your bucket list." And that's how it rolled out. And I'm really glad that happened.
We only got about 30 seconds left. And, you know, seeing all the improvements you guys have made at that track the last couple of years, what's next on the bucket list to make that track better?
I think everybody will agree it'll probably be the stands. That'll be the next big thing. But you know what's funny about that is I still see a lot of the reviews and stuff coming in on Google, on Facebook. There's not a lot of complaints about the stands. People know that's a grassroots track. You know, and
they like that.
And we say, where else do you turn off a state highway down a dirt road between cornfields, avoiding the chickens to get to your racetrack?
That's a different story for another day. Quick trivia question, Bill Niles. Where do those grandstands come from?
Probably lacrosse.
How about Camp Randall Stadium?
Oh, get out.
That was some of the original bleachers at Camp Randall Stadium. That's why I hope they never leave, because that history, I've never, ever been to a racetrack where the seats are almost more historic than the racetrack that Dick Trickle called his own. But just that blend of having those Camp Randall seats in there with the Dick Trickle name out there, with everything else is going on, all I see is this place going upwards.
Big time potential, and I'm glad I'm still involved with it.
Chuck Hausman, we let him come out and run the ambulance every now and then because he likes to turn the siren on. Hey, we have no problem with that. And he's one hell of a bartender when the races are done. What I greatly appreciate him spending some time coming on the program to kind of let you know where we've gone with that track over the past 4 years. When do we come back? What do we got next? Oh, yeah, we're going to talk some Super League model racing.
Yeah, we got an owner, we got a driver, we got the boss.
Jay Vandergeest next, right here on WBOG.
Want to keep your employees happy? Buy them all lunch. Hi, Jerry here at Big Boar Barbecue. We cater lunches all the time for businesses big and small, 10 to 500. We can handle it. Give us a call and we'll help you figure out a great menu. Let's face it, good people are hard to find, so we can help you keep the ones you got. My grandpa used to say, you want to keep someone happy? Feed them barbecue. Big Boar Barbecue, Highway 16 West Salem.
Yes, come on down for the best food in town at Big Boar Barbecue.
And online at BigBoarBBQ.com.
Every Friday night, Western Wisconsin will once again come alive with the sights and sounds of stock car racing. That's right, the Thoma Sparta Speedway is rocking once again. And this Friday, it's the Tim Meyer Shootout with Mod, Sportsman, the Midwest Dash Series, Hobby Stocks, Hornets, and more. For schedules and more information, go to ThomasSpartaSpeedway.com. And also check out their Facebook for events, giveaways, and a whole lot more. Friday Night Racing is back at the Thoma Sparta Speedway.
Hi race fans, this is Levon Vandergeest, driver of the number 23 Midwest Truck Series truck. You're tuned into the Days In Midwest Race Report with Dan, Bill, and Paul on Cool Gold 1460 WBOG.
Welcome back, race fans. Days In Midwest Race Report here on 1460 101.3 WBOG, online at the TuneIn app and Alexa. Radio man Dan Dyker, Paul the Penguin, right here, Billy Doc Niles, and everybody here has a nickname except our next guest, but I'm sure we could probably weasel that out of him.
Oh, I bet you 10 minutes we can come up with one. How about car owner slash late model driver?
I tell you, we've had everybody from his team on. I think we may have even had his wife on here a couple years ago, but we've never had, which is surprising to me, Jay Vandergeest on the program, and he is right now. Jay, welcome to the program. How are you, my friend?
How are we doing, boys?
Doing fantastic, man. I'll tell you what, this has to be, after I've followed you for a lot of years, this has to be one of your busier summers.
Yes, it's just crazy. And to your first question on the nicknames, because everybody up here calls me the boss.
Okay, we can do that.
All right.
How come how come Kurt Keene doesn't call you the boss on his show?
He does.
Oh, he whispers it. He's not as good as we are. That's why.
You get that. Right?
I got to remember that for the promos.
Well, see, now up in his area, we have the boss and we have the king, so we know who both of those guys are.
Yes, exactly. I guess it's because I'm always bossing all my other drivers around. So
talk about your busy summer. What is keeping you so busy everywhere?
Wow. Besides trying to run a business to pay bills, this racing has just been really busy. We've been at the Milwaukee Mile, of course, which my son did a spectacular there on Father's Day. So he forgot to get me a card in the morning. And he said, hold my soda and watch this. So that's my little funny story. But what a day! I don't even know what to say. That was just awesome, and can't get over that. And we started out at Madison, where we had a rough time, and jumped the car in like six laps, the truck, I should say, and racing around with Chris and Jason. Just got off the Stinger Nationals last night. Chris won the last qualifier, so we got some good victory lane shots there, and he finished 12th overall over the night. So cars in one piece, wasn't on a wrecker hook, and now this weekend we turn around, 3 days, we're at Marshfield with me, with my car, and Levon in the truck, it's been really exciting and really busy.
Probably Chris doing a little spotting up there. You know, we got to take Levon back and you back to the Milwaukee Mile. The last six laps of that race, that was not Levon driving that truck, because a teenager does not get into an outside groove and go for a battle like he did for six laps to win that. That was amazing.
Well, I'll tell you what, take it to both of them kids. You got to remember, Levon's 15, the other boy was 14 years old.
Right, right.
And they raced side by side. If you watch the last lap, five laps, they went inside and outside, both of them, and never left a tire mark on either one of them.
And they're leading the biggest truck race of the year, pretty much.
Yeah.
And it was just insane. I mean, I'm a really proud dad. Oh, that's all I can say. I mean, what all dads out there that has kids into racing, I mean, that's the cherry race right there, you know?
That was
and
outstanding.
To find out that he is the youngest driver to ever win at the race at the Milwaukee Mile, and the Milwaukee found another bit of history. The Milwaukee Mile is the oldest racetrack in the world.
Whoa. Man, that is, has that really sunk in his young peanut yet? that kind of history?
I think it's sunk in. I mean, he's just, he's by natural, by the way Levon is, he's just real quiet and laid back. And
yeah.
Sometimes I just, you know, ask him myself because I have to settle myself down from rethinking it. And he just kind of takes it calm and cool. And I think he's jacked up and enjoying the time in the sun, you know.
One of the things that has always impressed me about not only your car, but Chris and Jason's and Levon's, is the amazing paint jobs you have on these. Where do these brainchilds come from? Because you guys, every year at Oktoberfest, your cars are in the running for best appearing car. Where do these ideas come from?
Well, years ago, I had my relation I have is in California, and they're partners. It's Josh Merrill in a huge graphic company, and he makes t-shirts, and he's in partnership with Carrie Hart and Hart and Huntington is one of their businesses, and they do a lot of design work, and some of the really crazy paint jobs and wrap jobs that we had were designed by some of their design artists from the West Coast. And he always teases me when he comes up here during the summertime. He is like, you know, takes you guys a long time to get it from the West Coast, so let's start it out there now. And it's kind of been a good thing. And then Kyle from Auto Skins took over the designs a couple of years ago, and he stepped in the shop a year ago, and he's like, what about chrome? I'm like, chrome? And then Levon had gold chrome on his Bandolero car when he won the Bandolero championship in Wausau. Mm-hmm. And we got a sponsor to do chrome, and so we got a pink chrome car, a red chrome car, and a green chrome, or a purple chrome car. So
yeah, those,
and they've turned out kind of be a hit. So
those things are so bright you need to wear sunglasses on a pitch black night. That's just how shiny they are. They're so impressive to look at.
Go ahead, Jay.
No, go ahead.
I was wondering, looking ahead here, we've got the Arctic Midwest Tour is now going to be headlining the Larry Cheatson Memorial in 2 weeks. And I know how big a race that is for you being up there up in the north. What does it mean to have the Arctic Midwest Tour now a part of the Larry Cheatson's Memorial?
That is absolutely huge. I came up, Greg and Ron Wimmer were working on that for quite a while. And then I went and twisted Hope Joan and Ron are listening to this because they'll get a good laugh out of it. I twisted their ear a little bit after I won a feature up at Wausau and told them that that would be the biggest race they probably ever had there. We all joked about it at night. And the next thing they do is they got on the phone together with Greg and boom, there it is. And I honestly do think it's going to be one of the biggest shows that State Park Speedway will have at their park. I mean, it's a 2-day show. I mean, every year it's getting a little bigger with campers, kind of like that lacrosse atmosphere, you know?
Yep.
And they get bags in the morning and Bloody Marys and just a whole bunch of other activities. And I think I even got Ron convinced even bringing in the trucks on Friday night bringing in the trucks on Saturday with the ARCA next year, doing kind of the same thing. So,
you know, it that was my next question, is we're almost out of time here in the segment. What's the chances of all four of you, both Winecoffs, a Vandergeest and a young Vandergeest, racing at Oktoberfest this year?
That would be 100% possible. It was last year. I raced on the futures race on Thursday night because I'm so young.
Yeah, you and Jimmy Dragic, both of you.
I don't really know why you guys are laughing. I didn't see nothing funny about that. But, and I'm just making a statement. And anyways, Chris and Jason will definitely be there, and Levon will be in the trucks. So we will definitely be there, all four of us, on the tracks with our cars and trucks at Oktoberfest.
Levon wins at the Milwaukee Mile. What would it mean to Levon and Vandergeest Racing for him to win Oktoberfest?
Well, that is just kind of a loss for words. I mean, it's like somebody else asked me that in an interview. They're like, what do you think of the Milwaukee Mile? And all I said is like, the history at the Milwaukee Mile, he wins his first feature win in a truck at the Milwaukee Mile, youngest driver on Father's Day. What can you say?
Yeah. But, yeah. All you do behind that is put an exclamation mark.
That would be awesome. That would be spectacular. I mean, you know, that's everybody's dream, you know.
Jay, we only got about a minute left here. Why don't you let everybody know who's helping out Vandergeest Racing sponsor-wise for 2019?
Yes, Breber Music, Weir's Machine. They make a lot of our good parts. Custom Meats out of Marathon. They do all the meat cutting for me for the beef end of it. Rib Mountain Tap House in Wausau. Great drinks, great food. Michael Supper Club, Vandergeest Cattle, believe it or not, they even sponsor this team. Images by Kelly, Friendship House in Merrill, and Advanced Parts Auto of Marshfield, Norman Electric, Schaefer's Oil, they're a huge one. Lots of oil, and for the great designs, Auto Skins Customs, that does all the wrapping, and great thank you all to E3 Spark Plugs, big sponsor of ours, too, for Levon's truck and our cars for spark plugs and wires and all that good stuff.
2 years ago, Jay Vandergeest saved my voice at Kokona with a cocktail. This year, saved my post voice with a cocktail at the Mile. Looking forward to a trifecta at Fest, my friend.
Hey, I got to throw one more in there that I forgot that powers all the big cars. Terry's Race Engines. He's awesome. He just won the Motor Builder of the Year.
Awesome.
Oh, that's right. Year. Yeah, nice. You got that done, I think, at Madison this year. Jay Vandergeest,
yep,
along with Chris and Jason Weinkoff, and, of course, the young man in the truck that my money is going to be on, Levon, at Oktoberfest this year, and that's Jay Vandergeest. Jay, great to have you on the program. Let's do this more than once a year, hey?
Absolutely. I'll have to buy more booze when you're around.
you'll need more of that food from that meat sponsor.
There you go. Exactly. Thank you guys for everything you do for promoting racing, keeping us guys in the loop, keeping us out there in the media. Hats off for you guys also.
Thank you
we
very much.
Greatly appreciate that. Dre Vandergeest with Vandergeest Racing. You're going to see him at your local racetrack, him or Weinkoff's or Levon or all four of them. Thursday night.
Saturday night.
Yep, Saturday night, getting it on at Marshfield. When we come back, Paul Reichert's got a lot of racing recap. That's going to happen next here on 1460 WBOG.
Are you looking for comfort under the sun? You can find that and a whole lot more with your stay at the Days Inn Hotel and Conference Center on French Island, La Crosse. The Days Inn has 148 spacious rooms, an indoor pool, hot tub, fitness room, and plenty of banquet space to host that big meeting or wedding reception. If you're hungry, food and drink are just steps away at Heroes Bar and Grill inside the hotel. So if you're planning a pool party, wedding reception, or just want a night away in a jacuzzi suite, Days Inn Hotel and Conference Center on French Island is your stop under the sun.
Tonight at Dell's Raceway Park, Back 40 Rats presents Kids Bike Night and Fan Appreciation Night. Race fans will enjoy the Noah's Ark late models, modifies, bandits, legends, sportsmen, and bandos. Gates open at 3, qualifying at 4:30, green flag racing at 6. Go online for more info at dellsraceway.com. Special pricing with adults $10, students, seniors, and military $5, kids 9 to 12 $2.50, and little race fans 8 and under free. Kids Bike Night and Fan Appreciation Night tonight at Dell's Raceway Park.
Now back to Dan, Doc, and Paul on the Days Inn Midwest Race Report on Cool Gold 1460.
Welcome back, race fans. The Days Inn Midwest Race Report of 101.3, 1460 WBOG. Radio man Dan Dyke, along with Paul, the Penguin Riker, Billy Knock Niles, and DePaul. Man, I'll tell you what, I was watching a lot of TV last weekend when I actually had a chance.
Mm-hmm.
Race results were coming in all over the place, and people even try to duplicate you on their shows, their shows that I was tuning in on over the weekend. They don't top what Paul Reichert brings when we talk race results.
Nobody can do what Paul does, and nobody does it anywhere half as good as Paul does, and you're about to find out why. As we found all the winners north, south, east, and west in the country, plus a few across the borders, it is time for the Reichert Race Rewind.
All right, thanks, Bill. We'll start with Monday, the Super Dirt Car Series at Airborne Park Speedway in Plattsburgh, New York. Larry White was the winner. On Wednesday, Rice Lake had a special holiday show. Jake Hartson won the Wissota Modified feature. State Park Speedway also had a special holiday show Wednesday. Travis Volm won the Super Late Model feature. IRA Sprints at the Dodge County Fairgrounds in Beaver Dam. Terry McCarl scored the win. And Brad Sweet won the World of Outlaws Sprint Car Race at Brown County Speedway in Aberdeen, South Dakota.
You say his name damn near every
that
week.
That is the ninth straight weekend that Terry McCarl has won a 410 sprint feature, by the way.
Seems like Brad Sweet's winning every
week, too. Thursday, Mississippi Thunder Speedway, the River City Rumble taking place this year, a two-night show, Thursday, Friday. The Challenge Series late models ran. Jesse Glenns was your winner, and Rodney Sanders took the USRA Modified feature. At Kokona, the Ultra Fast. Casey Johnson won the Super Late Model feature.
Trademark Bill Niles.
Brett Renzel won the Late Model feature. Dirt Car UMBC International's Hell Tour at Macon, Illinois. Gordy Gundaker, the winner. Mike Marlar won the Lucas Oil Late Model Dirt Series race at Portsmouth, Ohio. And the Super Dirt Car Series at, this is an interesting name for a speedway, Land of Legends Raceway in Canandaigua, New York.
Nice.
Matt Shepard scored the win. Friday at Grundy, Fast Eddie Hoffman won the Super Late Model feature. Night 2 at Mississippi Thunder for the River City Rumble. We saw the Challenge Series feature went to A.J. Diemel, and Rodney Sanders won again the USRA Modified feature. At the Norway Speedway, up into the 36th Annual State Line Challenge taking place. Travis Sauter, I believe, made his first ever visit there and won the race.
Nice. You are right. You are right. I was watching them do the opening. They had all the drivers in the winner's circle, and they were doing introducing a lot of the winner's circle to their cars.
Mm-hmm. All-Star Circuit of Champions at Lurieville Speedway in Pennsylvania. Aaron Rutzel, the winner. Make it 2 in a row for Gordy Gundaker on the Dirt Car UMP Summer National Hell Tour, this time at Farmer City, Illinois. Lucas Oil Mile Dirt Series at Tyler County Speedway in Millerborn, West Virginia. Tyler Erb, the winner. Jason Blonde won the Mussie Racing Extreme Sprint Car Race at Bertrand, Michigan. USAC Sprints had a big two-night show at Knoxville, the Corn Belt Nationals. Brady Bacon won both nights, Friday and Saturday. Upper Midwest Vintage Series at Toma Friday night, Burton Brown the winner. World of Outlaw Late Models at Independence, Iowa, Brandon Shepard the winner. And night one for the World of Outlaw Sprint Cars up at Cedar Lake, Sheldon Hodenschild the winner. Saturday at 141.
Who is that?
Jack Hodenschild's kid.
There you go.
Yep. 141 Saturday night, Cody Schroeder won the IMCA Modified feature. Deer Creek had the World of Outlaw Late Models for the Gopher 50. Brandon Shepard the winner. Dustin Sorensen took the USRA Late Model feature. At the Dells, round two for the Tundra Series taking place. Gabe Summers wins the North American Cup.
Gabe.
Salute to
nice run.
Carl Wagner. And Brady Little won the Late Model feature. Cody Huber took the Late Model feature at Jefferson. Parker Price Miller, the 410 Sprint feature at Knoxville. At Shawano, Nick Anvilake won the Late Model feature. Marcus Sierra, the IMCA Modified feature. All-Star Circuit of Champions at Sharon Speedway in Hartford, Ohio. Dale Blaney, the winner. AMA Pro Motocross at Redbud Motocross Park in Buchanan, Michigan. Eli Tomac and Marvin Muskane split the 450 motos. Tomac, the overall winner. Badger Midgets at Wilmot. Zach Bowden took the win. Dirt Car UMP Summer National Hell Tour at Fayette County Speedway in Brownstown, Illinois. Last year's champ, Bobby Pierce, the winner. NASCAR Wayland Modified Tour at Riverhead, New York. Justin Bonsignor scored the win. Southern Super Series at Montgomery, Alabama. First time winner alert, Matt Craig scored the victory. And the World of Outlaw Sprint Cars Night 2 at Cedar Lake was won by Brad Sweet. Sunday at Slinger, the prelude to the Nationals taking place. Jeff Holtz won the late model feature. Steven Schultz the modified feature. CRA Jigs All-Star Tour and the iCar All-Star Modified Tour, both at Bear Field Speedway in Fort Wayne, Indiana, for the Crown Jewel Race. Brian Campbell won the CRA Jigs All-Star Tour race. And an interesting format for the iCar Modifieds. Bear Field has a big half-mile oval, and then they have a 3/8-mile oval that uses the half-mile. The Modifieds ran two $10,000 to win 100-lap Modified features, one on the half-mile, won by Travis Eddie, Mike Eddie's kid, and Bearfield regular Matt Dimmitt scored the 3/8-mile win. Ooh. IMSA WeatherTech Sports Car Championship Series up north at Canadian Tire Motorsports Park. Matt McMurray and Dalton Kellett, the overall winners. NHRA was at New England Dragway in Epping, New Hampshire. Steve Torrance victorious in Top Fuel and Matt Hagen in Funny Car. The PORWRA Midgets got together with the Badger Midgets for the annual Pepsi Nationals at Angel Park. Logan Seve the winner. And the Pass North Tour at Oxford Plains Speedway in Maine, Curtis Geary scored the victory. And that'll do it for this edition of Records Race Rewind.
Already can expect that probably for the next, 3 or 4 months, as a lot of tracks are at the midway portion of the racing season. And, of course, a lot of these bigger
events.
He's
just about the 2 pages here.
These bigger events, of course, are going to start wrapping up here towards September and October. Lots of the show still to remain. Going to let you know what's going on at the La Crosse Speedway tonight. That's next on 1460-1013 WBOG.
Every Friday night, Western Wisconsin will once again come alive with the sights and sounds of stock car racing. That's right, the Toma Sparta Speedway is rocking once again. And this Friday, it's the Tim Meyer Shootout with Mods, Sportsman, the Midwest Dash Series, Hobby Stocks, Hornets, and more. For schedules and more information, go to TomaSpartaSpeedway.com.
And also check out their Facebook for events, giveaways, and a whole lot more.
Friday night racing is back at the Toma Sparta Speedway.
Sure, Big Boar Barbecue has the best barbecue around, but we know there's always someone in your crew who doesn't want barbecue. That's why we have so much more. Try our new fried chicken made with 16 herbs and spices, or meatloaf, hamburgers, prime rib Philly sandwich, hot beef, or our ham stacker sandwich. Slices of ham piled high with your choice of cheese. Thursday night's a complete prime rib dinner while it lasts. Yes, we've got barbecue, but Big Boar is so much more.
A Big Boar Barbecue.
Big Boar Barbecue. Yep, that's a mouthful.
Tonight at Dell's Raceway Park, Back 40 Ranch presents Kids Bike Night and Fan Appreciation Night. Race fans will enjoy the Noah's Ark late models, modifies, bandits, legends, sportsmen, and bandos. Gates open at 3, qualifying at 4:30, green flag racing at 6. Go online for more info at dellsraceweypark.com. Special pricing with adults $10, students, seniors, and military $5, kids 9 to 12, $250, and little race fans 8 and under free. Kids Bike Night and Fan Appreciation Night tonight at Dell's Raceway Park.
There's the white flag. One more lap on the Days in Midwest Race Report on Cool Gold 1460.
Welcome back, race fans, one more time. The Days in Midwest Race Report on WBOG, Radio Man Dan Dyker. It is Paul the Penguin Reichert and Billy Duck Niles. I do want to thank former promoter and hanger-arounder at the Thomas Motor Speedway, Chuck Hausman, modified driver Paul Brown joining us on the program, and super late model driver Jay Vandergeest.
Yeah, it's a great show. Hey, get out to your local short track. Support your local short track tonight. It's a great night of racing. It's going to be a hot night of racing. Check out Dell's Raceway Park. It's Kids Bike and Fan Appreciation Night tonight. Lots of drivers going to be bringing bikes to the track, going to give them away to a bunch of lucky kids. Get there early and get registered for that. Also, of course, like we mentioned earlier, Lacrosse Fairground Speedway tonight. Fan Photo Night rescheduled from a few weeks ago when it rained out. Late model sportsmen, hobby stocks, street stocks, vintage cars in action.
Upper Midwest Vintage Racing Series.
Yes, that's your series. That's your baby, ain't it?
Yes, it is. Yes, I love those drivers.
Yes, qualifying, if they do qualifying, should be at 6:15. The fan photo will be immediately afterwards. First green flag.
I would seriously doubt we're going to qualify with
it's going to be tough to get it all in. So, and then, of course, next Friday night, Thomas Sparta Speedway, the Tim Meyer Shooter. Out. Midwest Dash Series is going to be in action along with five more divisions. Racing starts at 7:30 there.
And that is the original Midwest Dash Series, not the one that Greg Oliver had. You will see some very familiar names. I'm sure Kyle Stark, Brandon Lacy, Patrick Tickey, I'm sure they're going to be involved in that. But you're going to see drivers from like five or six different states coming in town for that Midwest Dash because they run a big money series, east and west and south, I think it is.
Yep.
And then, of course, Upper Midwest Vintage Racing Series tonight is going to be simply outstanding. I want to thank the guys coming in for the program. Of course, as Billy always puts on Facebook, support your local short tracks. We do and continually will do. And I want to thank all the sponsors of the program.
Hey, Days In, Big Boar Barbecue, Dell's Raceway Park, Thomas Sparta Speedway, FansArena.com, J&L Collectibles, TheGlassCarver.com, and the Midwest Racing Connection. Find that at your local short track tonight.
For the Penguin, Doc, and myself, Radio Man Dan Dyker, we greatly appreciate those sponsors and you for joining us on the big show. We will see you at the Lacrosse Speedway tonight and on the airwaves over the next couple of months. This has been the Days in Midwest Race Report on 1460-101.3 WBOG.
There's the checkered flag. That's this week's edition of the Days in Midwest Race Report, brought to you by the Days in Hotel and Conference Center, just off the interstate at Exit 2. Big Boar Barbecue on Highway 16 West Salem, home of the Ultimate Platter Challenge. By the Thomas Sparta Speedway, racing Friday nights by FansArena.com, the official clothing supplier for Dan, Doc, and Paul. And by Dell's Raceway Park in Wisconsin Dells. Join us next week at the same time for the Days in Midwest Race Report on Cool Gold 1460 WBOG.